Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
We welcome you to South Florida, and we were just discussing before we began, it's only 72 tonight. It's a little bit cool. And the rest of them have snow. And tonight we have with us Kim from Nebraska, Chris from
Minnesota,
thank you. I'm looking to see it. Minnesota, and Robert from Pennsylvania. And Charlene can tell you how this call came about. It was kind of on short notice today.
I just coughed, so I didn't hear you, darling.
I said you can tell how this call came about on short notice today.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you open up and you get up.
You deserve to cough with the bad weather, I guess.
Yeah, right. We're just so thrilled to have you walk into our house on New Year's Eve and just imagine yourself walking into the Steinkamp's house to spend an hour and a half just celebrating and just getting to talk around.
Before you do that, you want to tell about what happened and how it came about today?
All right. But talk around our table. But this morning, we were not planning on any company tonight. This morning I got up, read the Bible, and started reading, and I started checking the email, and Bob had a new cyber poll question that I didn't know about that he had done earlier this morning, and he does things early in the morning, and I clicked on it, and
actually, it's been there a couple of days, so
oh, okay.
Corrected,
okay, good.
Special.
Okay, see, I didn't notice that. And so I read the cyber poll.
We do live in the same house, believe it or not.
We're starting this off very strange. But anyway, the cyber poll question is, what are you going to be doing on New Year's Eve? Are you going to go to church? Are you going to be alone? And it had several other questions. But at that time, 49% of the people that answered were going to be alone at home on New Year's Eve. And it was just like the Holy Spirit said, you're going to be home alone tonight, and you need to do a teleconference. And it was just Holy Spirit conviction. So I emailed Bob before because I didn't want to go in and ask him because I thought he'd probably die with shock because we plan these in advance. And it just happened. It fell into place. Bob said yes, and we got three guests yes instantly. And we're just thrilled to have it happen suddenly. Because I believe that some of you were going to be home alone and just miserable and depressed and oppressed and have the enemy just hit you over the head, and we are not going to allow that to happen. We are hoping that this hour and a half you are going to be so encouraged and so excited about this new year. And with
them, I'm hoping that the 1 or 2% who checked, I have a date on New Year's Eve, will come here instead.
Or they have it with their spouse.
The spouse, right?
That's the exception. But anyhow, we're thrilled to have everybody that's going to be starting to come in. And just imagine that you have eggnog and soda offered to you. Yes. Imagine that you have cheese and crackers on the table with salami and all of the other good goodies that we have. And we just want you just to open up the Bible, get your Bible, get some pencil and paper, and write down these scriptures that we're going to be sharing tonight. Write down some of the hints that we may be giving you tonight. We don't know what we're going to say, but the Holy Spirit does. And we just know tonight is a divine appointment that God has orchestrated. And when he does it, we know it's going to be awesome. So we're thrilled to have Robert here. We're thrilled to have Chris and Kim and my husband and I.
And the 81 other people who are already here.
Praise the Lord. Now, we're doing this without our granddaughter and without our little helpers around to help run back and forth between two offices, but that is okay. They're home tonight, and that's a better, safer place to be. So,
I tell you what, after you pray, how about if I tell about my New Year's Eve as a prodigal with the cows?
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
Bob, what I thought I'd do is have each of us, Chris, Robert, and Kim, I'll say a short prayer to get started. Each of you, just I know, have a burden about different things, and let's just pray, each of us, just a short popcorn prayer of what we want tonight to be and just for what the Holy Spirit tells you to pray.
And guys, we'll get you introduced later on, I promise.
We'll get to tell you all about you. Lord, we just praise you, and we just thank you for this time that we're going to have together. We're so excited. Bob and I are so thrilled everything fell into place that we can do a telephone conference tonight. Most of all, we praise the Lord that we can pay for it and nobody has to worry about the expense. Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory of what you have done this last week and a half in so many of our standards' lives. The silence has been broken. The phone calls have been called. The emails have been written. There are people that have been given gifts. There's people that have shown up at homes, at in-laws' houses. It's just, Lord, you have done so much. But there are so many that are listening in right this very moment that have had nothing happen this year. They've had silence, and it's deafening, and they're hurting, and they're crying out for, here is another year we're starting. And this night is for you, because we know the pain and the hurt, and we're telling you that do not be discouraged, but be strong. Do not be afraid. The Lord is right there with you. And we're going to have an exciting year because I believe God is just melting the mountains of circumstances, not in other people's lives, but it's going to be in your life also. So, Lord, I pray you will just touch these people tonight. Open their ears. Open their spiritual eyes. Open their heart. Soften their heart that they will just have hope from you in Jesus' name.
And, Lord, I just want to praise and thank you for everything that you've given us, all the provision and everything that you have taken care of this year. Lord, I just want to praise you for being a shield around the children that are involved in my family and on the many families around the country and in the world that are struggling because of a prodigal. Lord, I just ask that you continue to put your protection around the kids and you just heal any hurts that they have, and you give the standing parent and the prodigal parent the words to say and the Holy Spirit conviction to move and do the right things by the kids. Help the kids to know that they are loved, and please just fill in the gaps for them while they are going through this time, maybe without a parent or maybe with a parent sometimes there and sometimes gone and just inconsistent. Lord, I pray for the kids.
And Lord, I have a special burden tonight to lift up to you those whose spouses are in or plan to be in the upcoming year, a non-covenant marriage. Your word says, one man, one woman for a lifetime. And Lord, I pray that you will reveal your perfect will and truth about these counterfeit marriages, and that these spouses will be obedient to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, be obedient as the Israelites were in Ezra 10 when they were told to separate yourselves from the peoples around you and from their foreign wives. Lord, my special burden, I pray, no more non-covenant marriages. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I want to praise you that you are the sovereign God of the universe and that you are all wise, and you've called us to trust you, Lord, and you haven't called us to understand everything, and we confess to you tonight, Lord, we don't. There are a lot of things that we don't understand. But Lord, I just pray that tonight you will work in everyone that's on this phone in a special way, that we could just trust you completely, especially, Lord, with those things we don't understand, and that we would just trust you, that you are all-knowing, that nothing escapes your notice, and that you have things under control, and you have a good plan for each one of us. So, Lord, we want to commit ourselves entirely to you and ask that you would touch us. You know our needs, the needs of each one individually, and I just pray that your Spirit would work in each one of us individually and in those we love, Lord, those who are wayward, Lord, that you will touch as we speak and as we're gathered together in your name tonight.
Amen.
And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, Bob has a story that he remembered and wanted to share tonight, and so we're going to open up with that, I believe.
We were talking about it this afternoon here. I imagine all of you have visions of what your prodigal is doing tonight on New Year's Eve. you're here with us and they're out somewhere else, and you probably all think it's all fun games for them. This had to be, honey, I think it was the year we remarried, going into 1987, most likely, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I had been, my plans were to be with the other woman for New Year's Eve. I was living in Okeechobee, Florida, right on the top of Lake Okeechobee, 100 miles north of here. I'd been down here to her house. I was called back to work for an emergency situation. At 11 o'clock Christmas Eve night, I started north again. I was heading up Highway 710 through the cow pastures of Central Florida, and my alternator gave out, and the car stopped beside the road. There's no gas stations. There's nothing. There were me and a whole bunch of cows. So I welcomed in New Year's staring at a big sad-eyed cow that's looking over the fence to see what I was doing. I finally got the car. This was even before cell phones. I managed to get the car on into a place called Indian Town, and I made a phone call and asked her if she could come and pick me up and get me back home. I had called Charlene instead of the other woman. And my wife didn't say a word about you deserve to be there. Where are you coming from? What were you doing down here? Nothing. She just said, I'll be there at whatever time. And she came and got me. We had the car towed, and she gave me a ride the rest of the way to Indian Town, to Okeechobee. So regardless of what you're envisioning your spouse is doing tonight, it's not probably near what you think it is.
The neat part about this is I had been home alone and been praying all evening and imagining all the things that Bob was doing since he was not with me and with our family.
I'm staring at cows.
And, but you, the neat part was is God intervened and his night was cut short, which was a praise the Lord for me, but he had a choice. And at that time that he picked up that phone, naturally, if he had been with the other woman, he would call the other woman and tell her to come up and help him. But the Lord intervened. The Holy Spirit did a supernatural touch on his heart, and he picked up the phone and called me. Now, that I still am amazed at, because these are those things that you're going to be able to write down in your journal or write in a notebook or write it on the computer. You need to write these things down because you're going to be like me now where I have all these people saying exactly what time did he call and all these things, and I'm going to say, I didn't write it down, you know? And I wish we had, because Bob and I often say, oh, if we could remember all the things that we went through. But the neat part was is I had three children in bed asleep, and I didn't say to him, what am I supposed to do with the kids? I didn't pick them up or tell them to get up and we got to go help your father. But the Lord just worked it all out, and dear Vera, my prayer partner, who was very close to me and knew everything that she needed to know, I called her up because she was older, and I said, I hate to bother you, but is there any way you could come over and watch our kids and while I'm gone? And she said yes, and she came over and stayed here, and the kids never even knew it. But the Lord took me up there, and I want to tell you, do not think. You do not know what tonight is going to bring. You do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. And if you can just this new year, I pray that you will not be discouraged every day, not be defeated every day, but be encouraged and be strong in the Lord, because the Lord is wanting to say to you, trust me, believe and expect that any day, any moment, any hour, suddenly, you could get a phone call, and you may have to do something, or suddenly you may have your husband or wife walk in the door. You do not know what's going to happen, or your in-laws, or your brother-in-law, sister-in-law may call you. We have got to be expecting. We cannot be, woe is me, and I just pray that tonight you are just going to be filled up by the Holy Spirit's IV coming in the coronary care unit with just saying, Lord, I need a lot of faith, a lot of hope, a lot of trust, and just fill me up with courage and strength and empower me that I can stop looking at the circumstances, but I can look at you and keep my eyes on you, and I will not fall apart with these circumstances. So anyway, That is what we wanted to start you with. And I wanted to start you with a scripture. And it's Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. And many of you may already know it. But Joshua, Moses had died, and Joshua was taking the Israelites into the promised land. And he said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law," that's the Bible, "depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night," are you? "So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you?" Now this is God speaking. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I guess what I know, Bob and I know, that everybody, oh, so many people, when you will hear tomorrow, wrote their list of resolutions of all the things they're going to change or want to change this year. They could be in a diet. They could do any number of things. But what we want you to know is that God's got a plan and a purpose. So we're thrilled to have Robert, Chris, and Kim in. And we're just going to let them share a little bit about themselves. And if you even have a special scripture that is special with you, we'd love to hear about it. And I guess I'll pick on Kim. Kim is does our Monday devotionals many, many, many times. And she does Charlene Cares for Kids, alternating with Colleen. So we're thrilled to have Kim, who just labors with our ministries with love so freely. And she is just a servant of the Lord. And we just praise the Lord for God sending her our way. Kim, introduce yourself.
I'm Kim, standing in Nebraska, in very, very cold Nebraska, very cold and snowy Nebraska. I am divorced. My spouse is in a non-covenant marriage. We have two grown children who are married and a grandbaby on the way in, I think, 6 weeks now we're looking at, something that I can't wait for. I came to the Lord about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I had already divorced my husband, and as Charlene always says, we perish for lack of knowledge, and that I did. It took me coming to the end of myself. God was whispering in my ear, and I wasn't listening, and it took me coming to the end of myself before I finally let him into my heart. And it's been a wonderful, marvelous journey. I haven't enjoyed all of it, but it has been an amazing journey for me, and I thank God for not giving up on me.
Praise the Lord. Do you have a favorite scripture you want to share?
Well, the one that's been coming to us in our prayer group, Isaiah 30:18, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." And for us, that means that you know, our just cause is in God's hand, and we just need to trust and believe and wait and keep walking and just let him be in control of all the details, not just the big stuff, but the little stuff too, in control of everything in our lives.
Because you never know when you get up in the morning, not expecting to do anything but have a quiet day at work, and then tonight, like, to have Bob and I alone, look what the Lord did instead. You just never know what the Lord's plans are for every day.
Yes, amen.
You didn't expect to be on here tonight, Kim. Chris, we're thrilled to have you, and we'll get you on before your children maybe tear the house apart or the room apart. But we're thrilled to have Chris with us, and she's a young mom, and we're thrilled to have you from Minnesota.
Thanks. I am so happy to be here, and it was such a blessing to be called this morning. And asked, because I wasn't sure what tonight held. I've been separated from my husband for about 2 years. He left in November of 2007, and he filed for divorce in May of 2008, but nothing has really happened with that. It just sits, and I refuse to really do anything, and he refuses.
Praise the Lord.
He refuses to do anything either, so we just sit. Still married, but separated. We've got three small children, and I've just been standing and waiting on God and growing and humbled by his grace and provision. I was raised a Christian. I went through parochial school up through the eighth grade. Then I went to high school and I fell away. But when I was 18, by God's grace, he led me back. And I attended a Christian college and met some great friends and just established a really solid faith with God. And since that time, he's been putting me to the test and showing me my faults and helping me to grow. And I praise him for that. Now I stand in the gap for my husband and ask that God just blesses him and restores him. And the scripture that I have is Psalm 51, which is a scripture that I pray almost every day, is to create in me a clean heart, God, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. And I pray that for me and my husband. And I should pray more for the other prodigals around the country, too, and in the world. I just pray that for everybody, that God would just help us get rid of the old yucky stuff that we got ourselves into, and renew us to the way he created us so that we can glorify him. So thank you for having me come tonight.
That is awesome. And, you know, there's a scripture in Psalm 119, and it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, for I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that is a prayer, that a scripture that we need to pray for our spouses and pray for your husband, that he can have a pure heart, and just the Lord will touch the husbands and the wives and turn them all back to their homes. Psalm 119, verses 9, 10, and 11. And last but not least, Robert's being the gentleman, and we're thrilled to have Robert with us again.
Well, I'm thrilled to be on tonight, Charlene. I've actually been, for as long as I can remember, I made a public confession of my faith when I was 14, but I grew up in a Christian home and into a very, loving, faithful Christian family, so I was very fortunate. Met my wife at church, and, I guess for 22 years I thought we had really a great marriage and shared a very common faith, and suddenly things, fell apart, I guess, without going into detail, and that's been about 4 years ago. In fact, it's just crossed four years for me last month, and we've been separated for it kind of depends on how you measure it, but for a couple of years, and but even before we were effectively separated in our own home, and
you're not divorced?
We're not, Charlene, but it's she filed for divorce almost 2 years ago now, and it's a no-fault divorce that she can get in Pennsylvania. I haven't consented to it, which meant there had to be a waiting period of 2 years, which we have passed, and so it's continuing to proceed. As you can guess, I'm praying against that, and it's proceeding slowly, but it seems to be proceeding. And so we have four children. Our oldest is 21 and our youngest is 14, so two in college and two in high school. And so it's been difficult, and I feel like I have a lot of I believe I have a lot of promises from the Lord, but none of them include timing, and that's always a challenge for me.
It's a challenge for everybody, Robert. You're not by yourself.
Yeah.
Timing is very difficult.
I believe I'm supposed to hold on and trust, and actually one of the testimonies that was given in, I guess it was yesterday, right, the mm-hmm. testimonies this week?
Mm-hmm.
But there was one former stander that gave a testimony how he had stood faithfully for a year and, mm-hmm. you know, then decided to move on because his wife said, you know, she just wasn't coming back, nothing mm-hmm. he could do. And so he moved on. And I will tell you, I was in Egypt in January, and I met the one person I grew closest to on this trip was a man who told me almost that identical story and he was the only person that I really shared what was going on in my life with, but somehow felt drawn to. And he said, you know, Bob, I think there's a reason why we've drawn close. I have to tell you my story, and very few people know this. And that was effectively his story. He was on his second marriage, and he shared with me how after he had given up, his wife came back. Mm. And he said, you know, God has blessed him. And he had, you know, as you often talk about the so-called out clause, you know, but he knew it wasn't where God wanted him to be. And he actually wasn't even living faithful at the time to the Lord, which he is today. But he told me, Bob, it's been, I can't remember, 30, it had been 25 or 30 years. And he said, there hasn't been a day that's passed, even though, you know, I feel blessed where I am in many ways, not a day has passed when I haven't known that I've settled for second best.
Mm.
And he said, I just, you know, feel like, and the story was a long one, I won't go into it, but it so reminded me of when I got that, when I read the testimonies yesterday, it was just like so strong, the same reminder that even though we don't know when it's going to happen, we need to trust the Lord.
You know, that is that truth. If we could get that testimony from him and from others, just to share that over and over again to every stander for however long they must wait, if they could just believe very strongly what God's Word says and listen to these other people who have made a detour road and didn't come back, all of them know that they're not where they're supposed to be, but they all have, they compromised, and they took a detour road, and some of them never did come back. But this is what Kim is talking about, those non-covenant marriages, because so often when your spouse is dating and being involved with somebody else, the thing that other person wants more than anything else is a divorce and get married as soon as possible, usually, to get them to get the knot and make it tied tight so they cannot get out of it, that they're married to them. That's what Bob's other person was wanting so much with Bob. And we always say, and though it may hurt some people, and it's not meant to, because some people never knew this truth at the time they were going through marriage problems and a divorce, but that God's best is one flesh for a lifetime. And if we can just, the ones that are standing, we need to stand forever. And if you're, we just need to know the God's Word. And some of us made mistakes long before where they ever became Christians. And God is a God of second and third chances. So do not receive this as condemnation. But what we're telling tonight is we must say and teach and share around the world, as we have so many people around the world that are involved with us that are saying, you know, God hates divorce. And we want to have a revival. And that's what we're praying. I hope you are praying for a revival around the world, that the men of God, the counselors, and whoever talk about marriage will speak God's truth and not take them down a detour road to go on into a second, third, fourth marriages. See, I know second marriages are not always perfect, because we are getting people now in their third, fourth, and fifth marriages. We're not going to go into that tonight. I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to have hope that what the Lord is doing is He's doing a mighty work. And He is touching men of God, counselors, and telling people who are involved with their other people that open up the Bible and saying, you're committing adultery. And we had this happen just this very week. We've heard a story, and it's not yet to be told, but somebody was miserable in their situation, and they went to a counselor, and the counselor opened up the Bible and said, you're committing adultery, you need to go back home. And that's a miracle to me. That is, I just get so excited when somebody calls and tells us that, because that's what our prayer is. That was my prayer. Lord, send a man of God to my husband to open up the Word of God and tell him the truth. And he did do it. And Bob did have a man do it, but it didn't make him go come home instantly. And that's where we all get, well, why did he wait? Well, because he disobeyed God. But God kept never giving up. And Bob, we had that question, and I'm going to, Robert, thanks for sharing, and all of you for sharing, but we have questions tonight. Are you on, honey?
Mm-hmm.
My husband may not be on yet. He has work to do when he has these people. But anyway, I'll get him back into it in a minute. But I want to share a scripture. And I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow in our devotional, so all the other people that aren't tuned in and listening to us tonight are going to hear a little bit about this. But this is the beginning of a new year, and I believe every one of us have made mistakes this last year in some part of our walk with the Lord of regrets or saying, oh, I want to grow more. What's my challenge this new year, Lord? What do you want me to do? And I challenge all of you that is to open up the Word of God and read it daily. And some of you that we talk to or read Charlene Cares do not have a consistent quiet time with the Lord. And I really believe, and I'm not saying you have to read a whole chapter or a chapter in the New Testament, chapter in the Old Testament, a proverb and a psalm, which is, would be awesome. That's what why we give a daily Bible reading calendar out at the beginning of the year. But what we challenge you is that if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be able to stand firm, and you want to build your marriage on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to know the Word of God. And both Kim and I, specifically, perished for our lack of knowledge because I didn't know the Word of God, so I never should have divorced my husband. Regardless of what he was doing, regardless of all the sin he was in, I should have forgiven him. And we teach all of this 365 days of the year with our devotionals and all the other things we have. But I started reading and was preparing the devotional today, and it's all in, so many scriptures are in Psalm 119. So I pray that tonight, if you're home alone, read Psalm 119 after you hang up from us, because I think it's going to speak to you. Because the most important thing we need to do is understand the promises of God and understand God's Word is so powerful. And we can put our names in, we put our children's name in it, and we've got so many rebellious young teenagers, older teenagers, young adults, and grown children that are now married and have children that are even having marriage problems. And it breaks their mother or father's heart to see that going divorce or marriage problems going on to the next generation. But in Psalm 119, I'm going to read verses 49 to 50. It says, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope, my comfort in my suffering. And I know, Bob and I know so much that you're suffering right now, so many of you. But your promises preserve my life. And that's my hope for you tonight. Do not be discouraged, but be strong and courageous, because the Lord has got some mighty, mighty awesome plans for you. We had some questions, and one of them was about a wall of, how do you get knocked down the wall of silence? Now, Kim, I know you can relate to that.
Sure, Kim.
And there are probably 100-plus people that say they don't get to hear from their spouses every day, weekly or monthly or yearly. That's a very big problem that we have because they run and disappear often. In fact, they often leave their children and don't pick up or call their children as frequently as they should or see them. But do any of you, or how, what walls or what strongholds or what do you feel are you hitting against? Without just mentioning your spouse, what are some of the symptoms that you are having with your spouse? You know, it can be adultery, it can be anger, it can be pornography, it can be any number of things. But what are you praying against, that you're praying that the walls, and I often think of the Jericho walls, because those were huge, they were massive, but you know what? They were given an assignment, and you know what? Those walls came tumbling down by obedience. And often that's hard for us, but I know that these walls that we are facing with many different issues can come down suddenly, and that's just like the Jericho wall. Does anybody have any, what circumstances that are, do you feel you're facing when you walk into this new year?
Well, I feel that, this is Kim, I feel that the main thing I'm praying against is what I would call the bold front, the mask that is shown to me, the bold front, that, you know, I'm not going to talk with you, it's like out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that there isn't any peace there, and I am praying that God will reveal the truth, you know, as he's tossing and turning in his bed and thinking, what, you know, what are these thoughts in my head, what's going on here, that he will, you know, open his heart and finally, I don't, just grab hold of the truth. Sometimes, I'm not sure Paul wrote this about, do you prefer I shall come to you in love or with a whip? And sometimes for some of our, the people that we pray for, it just might have to be the whip. And a lot of times we pray, in our prayer group, we pray that whatever prayer, you know, Lord, do whatever it takes in your power and in your will to turn their hearts back to you and back to their families. So the main thing I pray against is the bold front and living in the ways of the world, you know, and thinking that this is okay, you know, everybody else does it, so this is okay.
Oh, that's the devil's lie number one, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to jump in?
Well, I'm, you know, I guess, I'm praying against divorce still, because I'm not there yet, and I hope I never am, but, I mean, I'm clearly in the throes of it. And I'm praying against, you know, and I don't know, you know, I know a little, and I don't seek to, you know, I don't follow or try to find out, but not that I'm not curious. I'm probably saved a lot of grief by not knowing, but, you know, I'm praying against any illicit relationships, you know, if any, you know, I have reason to believe there probably is, but I just pray against that. And but, you know, the other thing that has really been hard for me is it seems like even, you know, I try to, when I believe I have an opportunity to do something in kindness or whatever, I often get, you know, I'm very accustomed to getting no acknowledgement, and that is totally fine. But it seems like if I do get an acknowledgement, it's a very negative, like, you know, portraying that any kindness I do is just done out of self-righteousness. And, you know, I look in the mirror at that, it's hard, you know, I often will doubt myself, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm, part of what I pray for is that, you know, God would change, you know, would grant us favor in each other's eyes.
Amen. Rekindle, reignite the love that you all had with your marriage from the beginning to before you had these problems. Rekindle, reignite the love and the Lord's love that he wants to have for your marriage for all the future. I think we all need to pray for that we continue to keep and rekindling and reigniting our love to be more and more like the Lord wants us to have, even as we go through different ages and stages of our life and in our marriage. I think that's very important. And Mark 11:22 says, and this may be for you, Robert, tonight, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain of adultery, mountain of divorce, go, I just add those words in there, okay? What is your mountain? Your mountain of silence? What is it? who throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So, Robert, that's for you, for what you just said.
Thank you. You know, it's just to mention a couple ironic things, although, you know, I don't think they're coincidental, but when I had my Bible open to Job when we started talking tonight, when you said to, that's just where I had been reading, so when you said to pick a scripture, well, actually, before when we went to start the call, I thought, well, I'll just turn. And you know what I turned to was Mark 11, and of course what you just read I had circled. And but what really stuck out to me was I had, when I find something that really speaks to me in a special way, I usually date it, and then there's usually an entry then in my journal, which I haven't looked up this one, but this particular scripture is dated 12/31/08. So
wow. Wow.
Last New Year's Eve, that wow. scripture was wow. speaking to me.
Well,
and the other thing I would say is that Kim, the verse I was going to give was the one you gave. Isaiah 30:18 is my favorite scripture. So.
Oh my word, that's awesome, you guys. That's just, the Lord is really into this. Chris,
when you were talking about things that come up and walls that come up, it's funny that just about a half hour before I called you, I had gotten off the phone with my husband and had kind of reamed him out for a few things, which was a mistake. I knew it right away, and I was, you know, frustrated and confused and just all these different emotions. But that I recognized that one of the walls that needed to come down, and I talked about with him, is the silence, you know, that we need to communicate. We've got three small kids. That silence has to come down somehow, but I can't do it my way. And I was reminded again that I just need to fight the silence, maybe with silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to do that, but I've got to trust God with that. And so one of the things that I'll be praying for a lot this year is just, you know, wisdom and knowing when to speak and when not to, and when to just trust and when to say something. And just trusting that when I do say something, even when I know I shouldn't have done it, that God will somehow turn it around for the good. Yeah. And I'll be glorified through it.
Well, you know, I can tell you, Bob can, I think Bob's on now,
yes.
But I can tell you, I blew it many times with my mouth. That's why we have the teaching tape. What are you saying? Zip your lips, because I was always, my mouth is well used to bring glory to the Lord, but also can say things I shouldn't be saying. And but, you know, my husband always says I sound very loud, and I always think I sound very soft, you know. But, you know, the silence is, I think, one of the biggest, hardest things. And I would literally just hold onto the phone, and I am an extremist. I'm a very vivid type person, and I would just lay my hands and just cry out, or get on the end of the bed and cry out, just sobbing, Lord, where is he? What is he doing? You know, just imaginations were going wild, and he always helped it. If he ever called and checked on the kids, he always helped color in some pictures.
Well, that was embellished a little bit by me and by your imagination also.
But I would just cry out and say, Lord, if it's your will, not my will, but your will, but if you could just open the doorway of just him calling and checking on the kids, that I can just hear his voice, you know. And I know there are some of you that have not heard from your spouse in such a long time. But I really challenge you to just pray that the walls of silence would come crashing down as the Jericho walls did. Remember, people had to walk. walk around there and read that, is that the people had to walk around 6 days with silence. Now, that's a long time in their timing. And can we be silent an hour, you know, let alone a day or 6 days? But, you know, they had to follow instructions. They had to obey. And I think that's what we need to really pray, that this new year, that we'll seek the Lord and we'll pray specifically. And we'll read the Word of God. And especially Psalm 119 talks about the power of the Word. And if we can just pray specifically and not just pray for ourselves, but it says, your Word of God is flawless. In Proverbs 30, verse 5. And we need to pray for these men and women, just like, you know, all of you, every one of you that are listening, that have different circumstances, but all the problems are, and so many problems are, is lack of communication. Lack of communication maybe before that you got separated, or the enemy came in and all the words that were coming out of both your mouths ended up into arguments, and all they do is remember bad things and say you've not changed, and we've got to change. And that's where I just learned that Bob and I would start to, he would want the kids or want something, and I finally just zipped my lips and I became the servant of the Lord, and I'd say, Lord, what would you do? What would you say? And the Lord would keep saying, you know, I died on the cross, so, you know, I want you to be a servant, and I want you to submit to him. I want you to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And that word, I know women about ready to scream at me, submit. When my husband is doing what they're doing, yes, because you know what? If you will do it as unto the Lord, and if you will just seek the Lord, God will bless you for it. So, you know, this new year, I challenge you that you will just learn, ask the Lord to mold you and make you into the husband or wife that you need to be, to become. Because we must change, and we must become the godly, Christ-like person before our husband or our fat wife comes home. And we need to be able to, if we've got rebellious teenagers or young adults, boy, I tell you, when you've got adult children, and I'm sure Kim can relate, there's a lot of times you'd like to give a mini sermon, but sometimes we say, okay, thank you, Lord, for revealing this. Now I get to go in the prayer closet and pray. So, you know, we can't say things to our kids when they grow up. You know, they're living their own lives and doing their own things. So,
Charlene.
Yes.
Let me get a word in before you get too far down the road.
Oh, I was going to give you that question.
Oh, wait, before you do that, though, honey.
Okay, go.
Zip the lips, huh? Not really. Okay, who laughs? Yeah. You know, while you guys were talking about the walls that you face, I jotted down some walls that prodigals face. Now, there are a certain number of people that stay mad at me because they say I side with the prodigal. But, you know, prodigals are facing some walls. And I think if you can realize that, you might be able to understand their reaction to you a bit more. So let me read you a list, just a few of what I'd written down. Shame. Now, when they get shamed, how are they going to treat their spouse at home in defense? Fear, uncertainty, doubt. Am I doing the right thing? How do I get out of it if I want to?
Yes.
I've got this other person pressuring me for a ring. I've got my wife praying and claiming I'm coming back. Disobedience. And the big one, guilt. They are so guilty. We are so guilty, we prodigals, that you standards cannot imagine. And then the other big one, double-mindedness.
Mm. Those are some good ones. And I think also, Bob, you've even mentioned to me many times you felt like you were in a trap.
Right.
And you couldn't see a way out.
Right. You had a question?
Yes, I did. And it's a very good question, and it's about prodigals. It's from one of our standards. Many prodigals, including mine, think they can continue with their lifestyle and wait until they are old or bedridden to ask forgiveness to God and accept Christ at that time. I know our main goal is to pray for their salvation, but the thought of them doing it like this is troubling me. Any advice for me or them?
Well, that's the person's problem and not the standard's, unless the standard dies, and then they have a problem. You know, for 30 years of my life, I was a funeral director, and I think of all the most impacting things that I ever did. I picked up a man on I-95 when a grocery cart had flown off a flatbed truck coming the opposite direction and hit this man's truck. The man still had his shirt and tie on. The car had come through his windshield. The grocery truck had come through his windshield of his car and killed him. Now, he got up, could have gotten up that morning, and I don't know his status, but he could have been a prodigal. And he could have been saying, well, one more day with the frogs, I've still got tomorrow. I can get right with God tomorrow. And no one knows. And in the county we live in, there could be possibly 20 people die tonight who went to bed feeling fine or went out feeling fine, and they will be dead tomorrow morning. Now, what guarantee do they have if they're waiting to make things right tomorrow? It's a dangerous, dangerous way to live. And that should be the incentive for praying for a prodigal without stopping.
Amen. That is for certain. Let me ask you, Bob, since I've got you on the phone, and I know people like to hear your opinion, is that they're reading your book, Prodigal Perspective. My husband seems different in that he seems to be in love with his new girlfriend. Said he no longer had any romantic feelings toward me, that I was like a sister to him, and he's living in a big house. And with all this, is it possible that he could ever want to return to me and our two children?
You want me to translate into prodigalese for you?
Yes, I do.
I'm in lust with the other person, but I'm still in love with you because you're my one flesh spouse. And the best way I can handle it is to say you're like a sister to me. Of course you're like a sister, because you're my wife. You are my one flesh. You're just like my sister. You're cut out of the same cloth. So a new broom sweeps clean. But if these new relationships work so well, why do men go or women go from the second to the third, etc.?
And that is, I know Bob had that situation. There wasn't just one girlfriend in his situation.
Don't go too far on that, okay? I'm serious.
But
don't.
No, but there are going to be a lot of people have when their spouse breaks up with one person and goes with another one, and they get more discouraged. That's good because they're showing you that the devil is just causing confusion and they're running.
Throw a little disclaimer in there about you think it's happening, they're coming home, when they break up and then they find someone else.
Yes, that's exactly. So you get shattered, and do not get shattered. It's just they're running from God. And that's what that is why the Word of God is so important, that you can pray scriptures with their names in it. I know the devil is going to try to defeat every standard, and I can bring this up as a question to you guys, of how you can keep focused, or how you keep focused, that you can discipline yourself to have a quiet time, a prayer time, reading the Word, having listening to the Lord, praying to the Lord. And you know what? With our granddaughter being ill this month of December, I can tell you with all that we had on December and our granddaughter being sick in the hospital and going there and then watching the other children that needed to sleep over and everything else, I said to the Lord, I can understand what it is to be like a young mother again and have the huge responsibility of everything they had to do with ironing clothes at 1 o'clock in the morning to get everything ready and lunches and everything. You have to really make it a priority some way, somehow, in the bathroom, in the car, wherever you've got to do. I would love you to have 10 minutes in a chair where you could just focus totally with the Lord alone, but we need to make time. And you need to try to do it in the morning and do it at nighttime, even if it's when you're ready to collapse in the bed. But you just must have time. The Lord is a jealous God, and He wants to be first. I'm going to pick on you, Chris, because you've got little kids at home, and I know you've got a schedule. So how have you accomplished that?
I'm so glad you picked on me, because I was just going to jump right in. I was going to say, hey, Will, hey, I can speak to that. I do home daycare, too. And so that's the way that we get our extra income, so that we can get food, mostly. But I'm fortunate enough that my husband is still paying the bills. mortgage, and that's not a burden on me. So it's
Chris,
just,
you're very blessed. And,
I
know there's many standards that said, oh, I wish that would be.
Yeah.
You got to pray for that.
I praise God for that, that he's, you know, his heart is toward his children, and that he still sees them, and he calls them, and he answers the phone when they call. But back to the prayer with God, you know, I get up at about 6 o'clock every morning, and the first thing out of my mouth and my mind is, thank you, God, for today. And I get up and I do my routine, and I'm on my knees in the bathroom before I get in the shower, thanking God for everything and asking him to help me get through the day. And then my first client comes, and then I go put that one to bed because she comes early, and I go sit in my chair, and I get an opportunity to read. And I have read the Bible in a year Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read that, and then I go through my day, and, you know, I talk to the kids about God, and we, you know, God's a very big part of my life, and I'm not afraid to tell the kids that God made that orange, you know, and God did not make the Cheerios, people did. And, you know, we talk about things like that. And then at night, after I get my kids all fed and into bed and bathed, if I'm not exhausted and crashed on the couch, you know, before I turn off the light at night, I open up my Bible one last time and ask God to speak to me before I go to bed. And it doesn't happen every night because some nights I'm too exhausted and
mm-hmm.
sometimes maybe just a little angry with God. That, why?
Chris, I'm so glad you said that because that was one of the words I had. We can all get mad at God, and that's just part of standing. And he understands, but we need to repent of it.
Right. Yeah. And so that's what I do. And God gets me through. And today was just another day of what I thought was going to be a really pleasant day was not. But somehow God turned it around, and I had a funny, giggly Charlene on the phone this morning, just laughing and joyful, and I was praising God for that. And now here I am. He's healing this day and restoring what could have been a really yucky night. So
God had it all worked out, and we just didn't even know.
Right.
Who wants to jump in next?
Well, I will. I do spend a great deal of time, actually, in the morning reading in my Bible and praying. If I don't get that done, the days that I maybe sleep a little bit later than I should have or whatever, my day is just not right. And that's one thing I always make sure happens. I have a dog, of course, that needs to be walked every morning, rain, shine, ice, snow, whatever. And I talk to God quite a bit on those walks, especially when I'm trying to stay warm. And so it's always a good time with the Lord, just me and the dog and the Lord.
Excellent. You know, it says in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. And it says the Lord is, we've got to remember, the Lord is written in his Bible principles and precepts that will give us wisdom and knowledge for this season, for your time, right now, each and every day. The Lord will have, I just don't know how he does it, but when I read the Bible, there will be some scripture that will just be for me for that specific day or time. And even if it's reading out of the calendar, God can do anything with these scriptures. So, you know, I cannot encourage all of you to really start this new year into the Word and talking to Jesus. When we say pray, you know what? It's like talking on the phone to your best friend.
Yeah.
It's just talking to them, saying, you know, I'm really upset. I don't understand why you're allowing this. I'm so hurt. I'm so mad. Please help me. Well, he says he will heal the brokenhearted in Isaiah, and that he will heal our hurt in our, and there's so many different things. He will hold you with your righteous right hand. In Isaiah 61, it says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Well, we all know of somebody that is in a prison of sin, and he says he will release them. He'll proclaim freedom and release them from darkness for the prisoners. And that scripture is a promise that we could pray every day with our names in it and with our spouses or brothers or sisters or aunts or uncles or parents. And it says to pray, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And many, many, days I just sobbed and cried about many different things. So the Lord says He is going to comfort you that are hurting right now. And He can heal that broken heart. He can take away the pain and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And may I challenge you all to turn on praise music. Turn on your favorite type of Christian music.
How about Stop Divorce Radio?
Yeah. Oh, please, tell them about that, Bob.
You go ahead, hon.
We believe that one of the miracles on our website is Stop Divorce Radio, which we never thought we could ever do anything like that. But we have free teachings on there. We have pastors on there with sermons that they have taught that are about marriages or families. And then we have music in between all of it. And I'll tell you, believe it or not, I listen not to myself. I often put mute on myself if I'm teaching. But I'll turn on the music when it comes back on because it just ministers to me so much. And there's powerful, powerful songs and prodigal songs. And we've got to be just filled up with the Lord. And in some way, I think some of our standards get hooked up in the trap of the computer, of spending so much time on the computer with Facebook and a million other different things that they get on the chat room. And, we need to say, Lord, am I stealing time from you instead of doing what I should be doing? And I think that's what we need to do, is we need to really this year learn to be disciplined more in our prayer time, in our Bible reading time, and doing our devotion time, and opening up the Word of God, and journaling, like Robert said, writing down dates and writing things down that are special. And I have off and on journaled all my stand and during now. And with all the busyness of the illnesses that we've got going in our family right now, I've stopped journaling, and it is really bothering me that I don't. So I've got, what I've done now is, and this is where I need a secretary really bad, extra secretary, is I have a lot of sticky notes. No, I don't have a lot. I have millions of them. And I write the dates down so I won't forget all that God has done. So when you get too busy, you can get too busy. But Robert, jump in.
Well, I don't know that I can add a lot. I've one thing I've found, years ago, I used to always do my reading in the evening, but someone had told me, this is probably when I was still a teenager, encouraged me to start my day reading, with in God's Word, and somewhere probably in that, I don't know, might have been early 20s or in teen years I started. Now, I didn't read nearly as much as I do today. I think it's more need-based, maybe, but I've just found that I just so often just need it, I read every morning, at least some morning. It just depends what I have going, but, I think if you make time first thing in the morning, it's the one time you can always... It's the time you have the most control of your day is what I've found. Everything seems to change. Once the first phone call comes or something, your whole day changes. So that's what I've found. And then, one of the things for me, just the schedule I have with our children that are not in college, I tend to have them on Saturdays, and one of the things I do is... Sundays has become more like when I come home from church on Sunday, I usually am alone, and I've tried to make Sunday sort of a special day of time of, reading, maybe catching up. I do this a lot of times. I don't journal every day, Charlene, like you said, but I'll make notes and do this, and then I'll
better.
Catch up on a week, and I'll try to do that on Sunday. And
excellent idea, thank you.
And it's amazing how many times that becomes a pretty special time for me. Then I just wanted to mention one scripture, because something you talked about, as you talked about in Isaiah, where talks about can't remember exactly what you said about the Lord, healing. I think the
healing the brokenhearted.
But one of the promises that I think is way. If it's not true for the group of people on the phone tonight, I don't know who it's true for, and I'm pretty confident it's true. in Psalm 34:18, you know, the Lord says, or his word says, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I've just, you know, really claimed that because, you know, I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, if I don't qualify as brokenhearted or crushed in spirit, I can't imagine who does. And I just think that's something we can all claim. And I found that, you know, if there's anything that's been really good out of the last 4 years, and there's been a lot of things, but one is that I do know that I sort of almost continuously am talking to the Lord. You know, prayer, I do have times of prayer, you know, on my knees before I go to bed at night and every morning when I wake up and all that, but just, you know, while I'm about my daily activities, so many times I just find that I am, you know, sometimes it's not voicing anything, but in my mind I'm talking to the Lord, and that's not the way it's always been.
Well, yes. Psalm 34 is an excellent, excellent scripture for everybody to read. It is awesome scripture, and there's so many, every verse is powerful, and it says, glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And I think anybody starting a new year, if you've been standing for this last year, for 1 year, for 2 years, or however many years, there's a lot of fears on this night of what is this next year going to bring me? I mean, I had hoped, I have my husband home, my wife home, my child home, and I don't even know where they are tonight. And that's where we have with so many parents right now. I have children that have just disappeared or are just, we don't know where they are. There's no communication. There's no phone number. They don't answer. So, you know, Psalm 34 is excellent. And then Psalm 35, verse 1 says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up your shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. And truly, what Robert is saying is the secret. Talking to the Lord as if he was your best friend all day long. I mean, I am always telling the Lord my problems or all my time pressures, and Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get this all done and get the devotional out and all these different things that Bob and I have responsibilities for. But you know what? He, all of a sudden, everything falls into place in perfect timing. But I ask for his help. And the kids have always, grandkids have always teased me, and Bob does, because I always go shopping or we'll go to the doctor's office or do anything, and we'll pull in and you get the first, there always will be somebody backing out to get the first parking place. And I said, well, the Lord knows my sore knee or knows my hip hurts, you know, or something. So he hears our prayers. He knows our heart's desires, and that's what we've got to understand.
Speaking of hearing our prayers, Charlene, you don't know this because you can't see where you are. Tonight before we started, Charlene and I prayed together, and the system we use for our conference calls can accommodate 150 people. That's the limit. And tonight before we started, Charlene prayed that God would give us 150 plus, and we finished praying. I said, Charlene, remember it only is 150. It can't be 150 plus. Well, right now it's 179.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how
it
works. God answers prayer.
That's amazing.
In fact, before we go into prayer, we just rejoice at the prayer God's answered for this ministry. Some of you may have received an email from me a little after 5 o'clock today, but we finished up a tremendous year, are finishing up a tremendous year of ministry that God has given us, and we're going now at midnight into our 20th year of ministry. Our 23rd year of remarriage will come this year. And we don't know what we're doing yet. We take it step at a time, and God leads the way. But we thank each of you for giving, for praying for us, we just rejoice in God's goodness that he entrusts us to do this for him.
Amen. It's awesome to be a child of the King of Kings, but it's also great to have the Lord use you and be a servant. And I pray that you will ask the Lord to use you this new year. I really challenge you. Don't be satisfied to wait for your spouse to come home. Dear people, God has a lot of work for us to do while we're growing in the Lord and preparing to be the husband and wife that we need to be, and that we can be used mightily. I hope you were challenged this month by what many people were going to do through the Christmas holidays and the different ideas they all had. I mean, we need, the church needs and ministries need helpers. And I'll tell you, it's an awesome thing, and especially your prayers for so many different people and ministries. We need to be intercessors, and we need to pray for a revival, and we need to pray for the men of God. And you know, write down what you would, you know, increase my faith, remove my fear, you know, increase my hope and trust and all these different things. Remove the anxiety that I have, you know, and then think of, you know, look up different scriptures that will, if you have fear, look up the opposite, you know, of faith, you know. And this year, I pray that each of you will become stronger and more courageous and not more fearful, but just have more faith in your Lord God of what he is doing in your life and what he's going to be doing in your family's life in the future, in your children's life, the legacy you are leaving. You know, God is going to honor and bless you for what your faithfulness, for all that you've done, regardless of the timing of it. I know that I talk about all the different Bible stories that talk about the time that we might have to wait, but you know what? His timing is perfect. I don't want to push the door open one day earlier than what the Lord wants it to be open. So, you know, we're really pleased to have that. But we praise the Lord for all the different things. I have another scripture. Does anybody want to say anything? Because I'm going to look up a scripture. Anybody have a thought?
I just have a comment on what you said about, you know, work while you're waiting. One of our favorite scriptures, of course, for all of us is Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. If you look in your Bible, that was a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the exiles in Babylon, and he's telling them, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters. In other words, Jeremiah is telling them, bloom where you're planted and do the work that God has for you where you're at.
Amen. That is awesome. That's very, very true. You know, I keep hoping you will read Psalm 119 tonight, but in verses, Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72 says, do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, each of us can relate to being afflicted with separation, divorce, marriage problems, whatever, illnesses. And many of our standards need to be prayed for that they would be healed of their illnesses that so many are battling right now, or their children. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. And that's just, when I read that tonight, I said, there's the spouses, you know, there's the prodigals. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. And I believe Chris and Kim and Robert all would say, as I can say, I do not want to go back. I would never miss what I had to learn while Bob was in the far country and I was going on my stand, because I would never want to go back and not know the Lord like I know him. And even now, you know, I pray that you will all understand, please, when your spouse comes home, never, never stop praying for your family, for your church, for all of the different things you're involved in. But you are a prayer warrior for life. it's not an assignment that you're going to get rid of when your spouse walks in that door. If it is, you're not going to have them there long. But it says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And that is Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. And we're going to close with that. I pray that the law, the Bible, the Word of God will be more precious to each of you that are listening than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And I know each and every one of us probably need more money right now than we can even imagine, because some of you are losing your houses or so many others are financially tight. But I am telling you, the law, the Word of God, is more important and more precious. It's got to become more precious than anything else, than pieces of silver and gold. Thousands of pieces of silver and gold. And when I saw that, I thought, Lord, we got to get that. We got to get that early in January so we can just turn this year around to be a mighty, exciting year for every one of you that are listening. Do not walk into January 1 defeated, thinking that your life is forever destroyed and there is no hope. Do not listen to what your spouse is saying. Do not believe the lies the devil is having them speak. Because as Bob says over and over, it's in all his books, that what they say is what the enemy is speaking. The devil is a liar and he's a deceiver and he's putting him in a trap, and we've just got to pray the Word of God. And there's a million scriptures. I could just quote scriptures for an hour. And we've got to believe in the Word of God, because God, it says in Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We've got to believe. So let me hear from each of you. We're going to close and go into prayer. One resolution or one thought that would be good for maybe the other standards to try to accomplish this year, new year. Do you have any ideas? Even what you feel like the Lord is telling you to do, maybe?
Well, I would, this is Chris, I would encourage people to tithe. That is one major thing in my life that I have seen God's provision again and again and again. And even when I increased past the tithe, God opened up the floodgates. I really encourage people to take that step of faith and to share part of what God has given you.
And I can't go on a teaching on that, but Bob and I have been tithing ever since we began our marriage. And it's 100%. We've got to be obedient to the word of the Lord. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to halfway down that part of the Bible, that part of the chapter, read it. And it says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. So if you're having financial troubles, as Bob has always said to me, give to the Lord, and He will bless you. That's a good word.
One of my special prayers this year is for myself, that I will be that Proverbs 31 wife, the wife of noble character. One of the things that God has been particularly convicting me of is when you were talking about zip the lips to your husband, also zip the lips to everybody else. And in Proverbs 31 it says, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of his life. And I pray that yeah, will be what I can do going forward. I believe it was last year around this time that Bob wrote a devotional about covering their nakedness, and that if we can do it for the rest of that year and then into 2009, God will bless that. So to standards out there, I say, do them good and not harm all the days of their lives, and cover their nakedness with everybody.
Oh, that's a powerful, powerful word. That's another devotional you need to do, Kim.
Okay.
Robert.
I guess one of the things that has been, when I remember this, is really critical to me and my stand is, Yeah, I guess I said something early on. It's just, you know, the frustration I feel at times because I don't understand. You know, it just seems like it's unfair or whatever. And, you know, the reminder that I need so often, and I'm hoping this will be an encouragement to others, I guess the scripture would be, there's a lot of them, but one that has been meaningful to me is 1 John 1:5, which says, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. And, you know, when that leaped out at me, it's, actually it was in a Sunday school class, and what it said to me, though, was that if I start questioning God, like he's not seeing things or he's doing something wrong, you know, I'm attributing darkness to a God in whom there is no darkness. And my Bible says that light represents, this is in a footnote, light represents what is good, true, and holy, while darkness represents what is evil and false. And God, you know, the God we serve is total light, total truth, total goodness. And, you know, when my life doesn't seem good, I kind of want to take it out on someone, and I know he's the one in control, so I sometimes I'm inclined to be angry with God. But when I come to my senses, then I have to declare that he's good, that he has a good plan and a good purpose. And I know that every circumstance that has come into my life has been filtered through his hands. And I don't understand, you know, why he allows some things, but I know he doesn't cause evil, but he allows it. He causes things that might be uncomfortable to us at times, but it's for our good. But the fact that he's allowed these circumstances in my life, if I can remember that he is entirely good, then I have to know that he's allowed them because he can use them for good. And, you know, that's what brings me back to a right state, to where I can have a peace that in difficult circumstances, that to just trust him, that he's allowed it, that it hasn't happened by accident, and I need to move forward in faith, just trusting him to bring about the good ends, and he's the one who knows the ends from the beginning.
Amen.
Romans 8 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And if we jump down to verse 37, it says, no, in all things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Lord is going to turn this all around to good. It says in verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And we've got to remember, God is on our side all the time. So we need to close with prayer. So I'm gonna close at the final one. But if everybody, Bob and I, will close at the end. If everybody else, one of you would start, and we just got to watch our time because we've talked longer than we normally do. But we need to close, and then we'll do the Lord's Prayer at the end with everybody.
I pray, Lord, that we will not look back at what did or didn't happen in 2009. But look forward with joy and anticipation to the new things that you want to do for us in 2010. May we never forget, Lord, that your timing is perfect. You will not be 1 minute late. You will not be 1 minute early. Lord, I pray that we may truly trust you and put all the details in your very, very capable hands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord, we praise you for ending our 2009 with spending time with you and with other people who are lifting up similar prayers and in similar circumstances. Lord, thank you for the comfort, and thank you for the wisdom, and thank you for the insight into other people's lives that we can learn and grow. And praise you, God, as we enter this new year and enter January 1, 2010, as a people that have stronger faith in you and more hope and more courage. Amen.
Lord, we just want to commit this year ahead to you and to praise you that you are our shepherd and you are our Lord, that we will not be in want because you are the one that provides for us. Pray that you will lead us all in the pathways that you want us to follow, Lord, and that we could be confident in you, that we will see your goodness, Lord, here in the land of the living, and that we will wait on you, Lord, that we'll be strong and take heart and wait on you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just come to you and I just pray for all these standards that are listening and that have been just crying probably for the pain that they're in right now and very discouraged or defeated, or there may be some that are just jumping up and down praising the Lord tonight for what he has done in the last few days or weeks, that God has just moved in their life and you can see them moving in your life and it's giving you hope and encouragement. And Lord, I just pray that the standards that open up their devotionals tomorrow, that they will not be discouraged the first day of a new year, but be encouraged and be strong and courageous, because the Lord has a mighty plan and purpose for your life, and he's going to bring us all around to good. And we pray for all the prodigals that you would touch their hearts, their hardened hearts, and turn them, the heart of stone to a heart of flesh. We pray, it says in Jeremiah 32, that I will give them singleness of heart and action, so they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. And Lord, I just pray that they will turn from their sinful ways. I pray against the spirit of whoredom, the perverse spirit, and the spirit of anger and jealousy, and the spirit of pride, and the haughtiness, and all the different other strongholds that are coming against all the standards and their prodigals, all the prodigals who are in the spirit of lust and lust of the world, lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes. And Lord, we just pray you would just touch them and turn their hearts toward you. May you speak so very loudly to them. But Lord, it says, I pray that every standard that's listening here, that they will remember tomorrow, a new day, a new year, that they will call to you. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And I dare pray that every standard that has questions, that they will seek and ask, seek and knock until the Lord answers them. And the Lord will answer. God does speak to his children. And I just pray that this new year you will keep asking, seeking, and knocking until the Lord opens the doorway and starts speaking to you promises and answers for what you need to do for each and every one of your problems. You can call and ask a million people their solutions, but the Lord has the solution for you, and he knows what's best. So I pray that you will seek a personal relationship with him. If you do not know the Lord like we've been talking about tonight, I pray that you will hang up this phone tonight and cry out to the Lord to come into your heart and confess your sins and turn from your wicked ways and ask the Lord to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, remove that anger, that unforgiveness, that hardness of heart and bitterness and all that we've built up because of what someone else has done to us. Lord, you need to start the cycle of forgiveness and start forgiving and asking the Lord just to forgive you of all your sins and ask him to change you and make you into the woman or man of God you need to be. And the Lord will then work on the other side of that mountain on your spouse. And there's a scripture the Lord gave me in Matthew 8. It says, I will go and I will heal Bob. And I will heal him. And that meant he was just going to go and straighten it all out. But I had to wait. I had to trust him. So Lord, I just pray you'd be with all these people. Encourage them. Lift them up and answer them and speak to them so very loudly in the next 3 days as they're off. And Lord, just bless them abundantly and mightily. And we'll just give you the praise.
Father God, I pray for every prodigal represented on the phone tonight. Lord, may you thwart plans this very night. May you interrupt the best plans that our prodigals have made. May you block them, God. May you replace it with thoughts of home. Lord, I recall during my time in the far country how I used to think on New Year's Eve about a silly camping trip Charlene and I had the first year we were married. We didn't know much about camping. Lord, may you place thoughts like that in prodigals' hearts tonight and on their lips. May they not have lustful thoughts, but may they have good thoughts, the kind that bring a smile to their face, God, about, you know, it really wasn't so bad at home after all. The thing that they can't utter right now, they can't tell anyone, but they can tell you, God. May you touch hearts. God, may you give Damascus Road experiences tonight all over this world on New Year's Eve, Lord. As standers, as prodigals, start out to do one thing, and you turn, touch their heart, and turn then around and do another. May they be like the prodigal son who said, I had it better back there than I do here. I think I'll go back. May that happen tonight, God, and we'll give you the praise for it. Lord, thank you for the means you give us to get together with people we love by phone, even we don't hear their voice, that we can get together on this night that is a party night for the world, a dark night for some standers. God, may this be a night of rejoicing for others. Lord, help the people who are listening to continue to pray tonight, even after this call is over. Oh, what power there would be in praying, God, if they would all just keep praying until the midnight hour comes around, regardless of what time zone they're in, God. May they pray not only for their own spouse, but for every wayward spouse. Lord, this is a night that Satan would like to gain ground in families' lives around the world, but we're claiming for our corner of the world that it's a night of victory. Thank you, God, for blessing this ministry like you have. Thank you for entrusting it to us. God, bring safety to everyone who has to travel tonight, that they may not encounter drunks on the roadway or people who would do bad, but may you give them travelers' mercies where they have to go. Thank you for Charlene. Thank you for the wisdom you've given her, God, that she can share it by this means. We just rejoice and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.